जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा, जय प्रभुपदा जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निधाय गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, कंटिन्यूइंग आवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो वन चैप्टर टू. The chapter is entitled Divinity and Divine Service, text number 31. Taya vilasiteshu eshu guneshu gunavan iva antapravishta आभाति विज्ञानेन विजृंबितः तया विलसितेषु एषु गुणेषु गुणवानिव अंत प्रविष्ट आभाति विज्ञानेन विजृंभितः तया विलसितेषु एषु गुणेषु गुणवानिव अंत प्रविष्ट आभाति विज्ञानेन विजृंभितः तया विलसितेषु एषु गुणेषु गुणवानिव अंत प्रविष्ट आभाति विज्ञानेन विजृंभितः Vilasiteshu, although in the function, Eshu, this, Guneshu, the modes of material nature, Gunavan, affected by the modes, Iva, as if, Antah, within, Pravishtah, entered into, Abhati, appears to be, Vijnanena, by transcendental consciousness, Vijrimbita, fully enlightened. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. After creating the material substance, the Lord Vasudev expands Himself and enters into it. And although He is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, He is always fully enlightened in His transcendental position. Purport. The living entities are separated parts and parcels of the Lord, and the conditioned living entities who are unfit for spiritual kingdom are strewn within the material world to enjoy matter to the fullest extent. As Paramatma, an eternal friend of living entities, the Lord, by one of His plenary portions, accompanies the living entities to guide them in their material enjoyment and to become witness to all activities. While the living entities enjoy the material conditions, the Lord maintains His transcendental position without being affected by the material atmosphere. In the Vedic literature's Shruti, it is said that there are two birds in one tree. One of them is eating the fruit of the tree, while the other is witnessing the actions. The witness is the Lord, and the fruit eater is the living entity. The fruit eater living entity has forgotten his real identity and is overwhelmed in the fruitive activities of material conditions. But the Lord Paramatma is always full in transcendental knowledge. That is the difference between super soul and the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, the living entity, is controlled by the laws of nature, while the Paramatma or the super soul is the controller of the material energy. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। The translation once again, after creating the material substance, the Lord Vasudev expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, he is always fully enlightened in his transcendental position. So welcome all the devotees for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are almost concluding the second chapter of the first canto now, the few verses remaining, and we are seeing the culmination of what this chapter is entitled as. The chapter is called here as Divinity and Divine Service. So divinity means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, and divine service represents the process of surrender or process of bhakti. So eventually the descriptions are mentioned very beautifully by Suta Goswami here. We are referring a series of verses now at this time. The last few verses where Krishna's divinity aspect is mentioned. Part of his divinity aspect is how Krishna is the cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam. And in the last verse yesterday, and today's verse, and tomorrow's verse also, we will see how Krishna, we are seeing how Krishna is the cause of material creation. How Krishna enters, Krishna creates the material creation, and he also enters into material creation. So Krishna is cause of all causes, so Krishna is cause of material creation, yet he causelessly enters into the cause. Because he has no cause in this cause. What is the cause? This material nature is made for the living entities to enjoy. So his business is not to enjoy there. It is for those living entities who wanted to rebel, who wanted to go away from the Lord. The Lord has created this material creation, so He has causelessly created this material creation. He is the cause of all causes, yet He causelessly created this material creation, and yet His causeless creation of material world has a cause. And that is, Jivera Karane Asiya Papanche Leela Koilo Suvistara He Gopinath. So why Krishna, who is the cause of all causes, without any cause of Himself, creates this material creation, yet He enters into material creation? Because His cause is very genuine, compassion to all of us. All the conditioned souls who have rebelled against Krishna and have entered here to try to enjoy this material world, Krishna is not happy that His separated parts and parcels are trying to enjoy, and Kar Shati, they are struggling. And therefore Krishna, He is entering into this material creation into various aspects. One of that aspect is what is mentioned in this verse, the aspect of super soul. We will today focus more on this aspect of Krishna as Paramatma, because Srila Prabhupada's purport is full of this description of Krishna coming as Paramatma, super soul. So, we can see here so beautifully in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is our true friend. In the Bhagavad Gita 5.29 also, we very nicely hear from Sri Krishna. Lord Sri Krishna tells Arjuna, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. Sarva Bhutanam means for all living entities. Srila Prabhupada said, all living entity does not mean only human beings, but it means animal society, bird society, other species, everyone. Krishna is Suhrit. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures in Seattle, mentions in details about what this word Suhrit means. We heard many times, Gurujan Prabhu also mentions in Surrender Unto Me beautifully this concept. So Prabhupada says there are many types of friends. In Sanskrit, a friend can be defined by the way, the role he plays. So there can be an official friend, there can be a social friend, and there can be a real friend. So Prabhupada mentions in the lecture, an official friend is called Bandhu. A social friend is called Mitra. A real friend is called Suhrit. Why is called Suhrit? Because he is always connected and always a well-wisher of his friend. Like we find this beautiful lecture of Srila Prabhupada. I'll read some beautiful lines here. Prabhupada says, Suhrit means one actually desires good for his friend. That is sincere friend. So Krishna is our sincere friend. Krishna is Suhrit. He is always wishing my good and is therefore canvassing. Krishna is canvassing to us. Please, you surrender to me. And Prabhupada gives the example of father. It's like a father says, my dear boy, why are you acting independently? Foolishly you are suffering. Just surrender unto me. I shall give you protection. Similarly, Krishna is a friend like our father. He is always asking. He is going with me in every type of body. Even if I get the body of a dog, Krishna is always there with me. Even with cats, dogs, hogs, or any lower type of animal, He has no hesitation to come with me. That's called Surat. Right? A real friend is one who does not hesitate to be your friend, who is not afraid or fearful of social prestige or inhibitions in his mind. He is friend day in, day out, whether you are in any condition of life. He is so friendly that wherever his friend is going, he is also going there, Prabhupada says. And then very beautifully says, as Paramatma, he is doing all friendly activities. So not just friend, but he is also doing friendly activities. What are his friendly activities? He is sending his bona fide servant as spiritual master. That's one of his friendly activities. Then he is coming as incarnation, another friendly activity. Sometimes he comes as his own devotees, Lord Chaitanya. That's also his friendly activity. So see how he is helping us in so many ways. But we are so foolish, we do not accept him. So Suhrit means a person who is always trying to help, no matter in what condition the other friend is. And also, no conditions apply. Whether you accept the help or not accept the help, still I'll keep helping you. That's called Suhrat. That's the definition of Suhrat, as Srila Prabhupada mentions. So, directly of fallen conditioned souls, Krishna himself comes. Sometimes Krishna sends his pure devotees, or Krishna sends his, comes himself not as Lord, but as a devotee. So, in one sense, the best friend is who? Krishna. Real friend is who? Krishna. In fact, he is the best example of user-friendly. He is friend, but is friendly as per the user, right? Sometimes friendship can be like that. Friendship can be dominating, right? I am your friend, but you should understand me and do like that. But Krishna is not like that friend. He doesn't interfere. Whatever you wish, Krishna is there witnessing. Prabhupada says, he is a witness bird. He is witnessing everything. And see how Prabhupada, how our acharyas throughout the great ages, all different scriptures they have mentioned, how Krishna is trying to help us directly, indirectly, in different styles Krishna's helping activities given on. Prabhupada says Krishna's friendly activities. So what's his friendly activities? So acharyas mentioned that in our Vedic tradition, we see that if someone has to teach some knowledge to other person, then he can teach through three methods. One is a direct method, second is indirect method, and third is a suggestive method. So, example of direct method is when a spiritual master teaches to his disciples, direct. The relationship is very clear. He is guru and you are disciple. So you have to sit in the front of a disciple and a guru, and guru has to instruct you. So that is called direct way of methodology of teaching. Second is indirect method. Shastras mentioned indirect method is taken, the example is that sometimes we have a friend, a good, well-wishing friend, and then he wants to tell you something, but he is a little worried. If I tell you directly, then my relationship will get affected. So sometimes indirectly tells you that you are going wrong. It's for indirect way of teaching. And third method is the suggestive method of teaching. And our acharyas mentioned this is more seen in a married life, where a wife, she teaches husband in a suggestive way. It can be other way also. A chaste wife suggesting some improvement in the husband, or a cultured husband suggesting an improvement in the wife. Suggesting. Because the relationship is very, very intimate. So, suggestive way of teaching. So, our acharya says that Bhagavad Gita is a direct way of teaching. When Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita, is a direct method. Ramayana is both indirect and suggestive. The second and third. Srimad Bhagavatam is mix of 1, 2, 3. Direct, indirect and suggestive. So we can see that how Krishna is so kind to us that he has kept all different methodologies for reaching out to us. A direct method, an indirect method, a suggestive method. However, in spite of Krishna's help to us in the form of scriptures, Krishna knows that Krishna understands that even if scripture is given in any form, suggestive, indirect, direct, but the living entities, especially in the age of Kali Yuga, will be so degraded and so fallen, they will not able to understand scriptures. And hence, Krishna arranges more help, not just the books, but a tuition teacher to teach us how to understand the books. Give an example, sometimes, let's say we go near the ocean. We have very close ocean here. Right? I remember when I was very small, I went for a beach once. So I happened to just drink the water of the ocean. And I told my father, someone has put salt in the ocean, and everyone had a good laugh, you know. Ocean water is salty. You can't just drink it, right? Have you tried drinking ocean water? Can't possibly drink it. Sometimes because of corona, you have to do gargling, right? It's salt water. Galti se andar gaya to kya hota? It's so difficult to drink that water. Salt water is very difficult to drink. So ocean is full of water, and yet on the land there is shortage of water, right? Because that water cannot be drunk. I was once traveling with one devotee from Middle East. And in that whole area of Middle East, there is no water source. The only source is ocean. So he told me that there is a big unit a big industry which has input, which converts the salt water into pure water. That's very easy, nice. No, not easy, very costly. So we have to pay some 10 dirhams to buy 1 liter of water. Wow, that means it's not easy to convert salty water to pure water. Right? So you carry a lota and go to the salt water and drink the water, can't drink. Yet the same water becomes drinkable by the means of clouds. Right? The clouds, they carry those water, pure water, they come to the land and they shower water on the land in the form of rains. And the whole lakes, reservoirs of water get filled and we can drink that water. It's drinkable. So, the ocean water is compared to scriptures. Scriptures, we can't understand directly. Why? Because it is salty. Not scriptures are salty, but the nature of the water is different from our nature. So it is said, Krishna's nature is, Krishna is transcendental, beyond three modes of material nature. Anything about Krishna is also transcendental. So Krishna's teaching is also transcendental. So Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Rama, and everything is transcendental. And who is accessing it? A conditioned soul who is not transcendental. He is in three modes. Goodness, passion, ignorance, mix of that. So how can someone, even in goodness, who is in goodness, even he can't understand scriptures because scriptures are transcendental because it is part and parcel of Krishna. So what is the arrangement? We need the clouds. So the clouds are compared to pure devotees. The pure devotees, they assimilate all that salty water as pure water and they bring that water to the land, to the place where we have our reservoirs from where we get our supply and it throws all the water there. Right? Now, how does the cloud work? The cloud works because of the sun. The sun evaporates the salty water, leaves the salt behind, and the water goes in the form of cloud. So the cloud is the arrangement of the sun, and sun is compared to Krishna. So Krishna is that sun who evaporates the whole thing and converts into cloud. So while salty water is salty and we can't drink it, but salty water can be converted into cloud, and the cloud water we can drink. So the connection of us with scripture is through a pure devotee. Why? Because a pure devotee has direct connection with Krishna. We cannot connect with Krishna directly because we are within the three modes of material nature. So Prabhupada says in one lecture that Krishna is openly speaking, but still we are unable to catch what Krishna is speaking. Why? Because Krishna's speaking is of different frequency. Like we find sometimes, like for example, now we are having Bhagavatam class. Someone will be hearing Bhagavatam class on FM. To hear on FM also, we need to know the frequency, the channel. If there are too many songs and too many FM channels running parallelly, and if you do not know the exact number, it's a very difficult task to move through the whole gamut of the frequency and then finally come to the exact frequency of Bhagavatam class is going on. Unknown person who does not know what is the frequency of Bhagavatam class in our temple will have difficulty to find the exact frequency in that big ocean of different things happening on FM channel. So we need to get tuned into that frequency. But we are not able to tune into frequency of Krishna because Krishna is transcendental. So therefore first we need to get tuned into the frequency of a pure devotee. Because a pure devotee, when he teaches us, he comes to our level. Uttam Adhikari comes to the level of Madhyama Adhikari and preaches. Like Srila Prabhupada, he is a pure devotee, right? He is always transcendently engaged in Krishna consciousness. Yet, to our level, he came and taught us the scriptures, right? Srila Prabhupada was once not able to dictate much in the night time when he was dictating Srimad Bhagavatam. So the devotee was typing Srila Prabhupada's dictation. She came and asked Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, for last few nights you have not dictated much. Why, Prabhupada?" Prabhupada said, "Your work is mechanical. To keep just typing whatever you hear. But my work is not mechanical. I have to think a lot. How should I present so that you all can understand it very nicely?" So Srila Prabhupada came to our level, gave us in very simple language, right? Srimad Bhagavatam is available now thanks to Srila Prabhupada's amazing ISKCON society that the whole Bhagavatam is available in all languages. For us who came to ISKCON directly, our spiritual first journey was in ISKCON, we may not so much appreciate the contribution of Srila Prabhupada's scriptural edition in this whole world, where all the books are available in all languages. But just an idea behind the whole thing is that how in this whole world, scriptures were available very, very scarcely. Even within India also, very few publishing house. And that too also, they were not publishing their own books. They were just taking from different authors. It was like kind of a freelance publication. But Srila Prabhupada sat down, an acharya, who is already absorbed in Krishna consciousness, comes to the level of humanity, becomes absorbed in technical things, right? Technical things of book publishing, writing, dictating. It's a very difficult job to do. It's very easy to, like for example, it's very easy to take prasadam, but to go into the nitty-gritties of cooking prasadam can be difficult, right? Every day we go and just see the beautiful menu in the kitchen and we just eat that. Honor that. Very nice, wonderful. But what happens in the kitchen, that's another department altogether. Kitchen department is a very difficult department to handle. At least I feel like that. Because every day you have to perform. Right? Other places you do not have to perform every day. But here, every single day you have to perform 7 days a week, 365 days in a year. And when you perform, some people will glorify you. But when you don't perform once in a while, everyone will talk about it. It's a very difficult department. Anyways, so talking about frequency now. So Krishna's frequency we cannot understand. So we need a pure devotee. And pure devotee is in touch with Krishna. Right? Now, it is said that Lord as super soul, Prabhupada says, is openly speaking to us. But we can't hear. But that hearing we can understand through the medium of a pure devotee. So Srila Prabhupada says in one of his morning walk conversations that why we are not able to hear what our Chaitya Guru, our Paramatma is speaking. The reason is that we are not on the level of Raga Bhakti. So Prabhupada says right now in Sadhana Bhakti we will not understand what Krishna is speaking. But when we come to the level of Raga Bhakti, which is just prelude to the Bhava Bhakti platform, then we can access what Krishna is speaking to us as Super Soul. Till that time, we continue on to hear from our spiritual masters, from pure devotees. And then we see that since we cannot hear from Krishna, we know that this is what Krishna wants and that Shraddha has to be there. I was hearing one lecture, one devotee was mentioning very nicely that Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all scriptures. Right? By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what is that verse Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says? Achirena. One achieves very quickly Krishna Prem. Very quickly one achieves Krishna Prem. But then Suhrada, but then Shraddha. It is said there should be faith. Faith in the Lord, faith in the scripture, and faith in the person who is presenting the scriptures. When all three are there, then based on that faith, then the assimilation comes. And then there is a quick attainment of Krishna Prem. So, we always hear from our scriptures that Paramatma is always a witnessing word. He never speaks. Then why Srila Prabhupada says that Paramatma is openly speaking but we can't hear? We should know that there are different categories in that. Paramatma is a silent person for non-devotees. For devotees, Paramatma is speaking but we can't hear. But for pure devotees, Paramatma is speaking and that pure devotee can hear. So we should not think Lord is impersonal, sitting there doing nothing. He is eagerly waiting. Now this is a beautiful verse which illustrates this point. Third canto, 28th chapter, 12th verse. Where Lord Kapila is mentioning to Devahuti the description of Lord in the heart. Very beautiful point. And Prabhupada gives an elaborate purport on that. Prabhupada's translation says, the form of the Lord as Paramatma in the heart is very beautiful. What is the beauty? We are not describing now. The beauty of the Lord is mentioned. Then, the Lord has four hands. In one hand he has lotus, other three hands he has weapons. And the clothes which the Lord is wearing is also mentioned. And finally in the translation, Lord Kapila says, the expression of his face. Like when we hear, when we talk to everyone, we have some expression, right? So Krishna is actually not just standing like a dumb doll there. He has expression on his face. And what is the expression of his face? Lord Kapila mentions, always eager to bestow blessings upon his devotees. That is the expression on his face. So Prabhupada says, for devotee, Lord is always showing expression. I want to help you. But for a non-devotee, Prabhupada says, Lord is silent. No expression. So when a person is not a devotee, the Lord becomes a witness bird. Does not show any expression. Because Krishna does not want to intervene in someone's free will. And Krishna is just watching, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, the fruit enjoying activity, the fruit eater living entity has forgotten his own identity and overwhelming fruitive activities. But the Lord is always full in transcendental position. So Prabhupada calls us as fruit eater bird. Right? So just analyzing fruit eater bird. Then I was thinking yesterday I was in the evening someone giving fruits. And fruit eater bird. So I think I am also already a bird, right? Individual soul is like a bird. And I was eating fruit. And I got absorbed in fruit so much that when someone was standing on the door and he was asking, he was saying, Haribol. And I was so absorbed in eating the fruit. I'll not tell which fruit I was eating, but I was eating the fruit. Absorbed in the fruit eating. And there was a person witnessing me. Because he had come to do some service in my room, some drilling and all. So he could not, because he had no connection with me, so he was like a witness, waiting for my fruit eating activity to get over. And then when I picked up my face and he was there, I said, how long are you standing? Prabhu, my bodh desa kada ho. So why did you not speak? I said, bro, I didn't want to disturb your fruit eating activity. So I understood that, you know, because he was very neutral to me, he didn't disturb me. He waited for me to continue fruit eating. So Lord is, when we are non-devotees, Lord is like a neutral person, witness bird, doesn't disturb us, no expression on face. But as soon as we become devotees, he is eager to help us. But then he understands, he is wanting to help us, but he cannot connect with us because we are very beyond, within three modes. So he connects through our guru, through a pure devotee. So in this way we can see that how this beautiful exchange of Paramatma with the living entity is so beautifully experienced by Srila Prabhupada in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was just once, another example I want to give about the witness bird. How busy we are in our activities, right? I was traveling one time to Nashik, from Mumbai to Nashik, in the train. And somehow that happens once in a while, that the window which I was sitting, it was a seated train. And across me there was a young boy, around in the teens, 14 or 15 like that. He was traveling with his family and I was sitting alone. And unfortunately the seat in which we were sitting, the window was not opening. Just imagine if your window is not opening, and I'm not talking about the window of the glass window, the shutter window. The shutter window was not opening. And this boy was so frustrated. He was excitement in window seat bilai, sitting on the window, and the window seat he gulne rahe. So both my and his window was not opening. And then I had no issue. I tried, didn't open, leave it. Okay, light is on, study books. But I saw he was trying his best to open the window because he wanted to enjoy the scene. I was thinking maybe I should help you and tell him that don't open, this window is not opening. You just watch through the opposite window, you know, whatever you want to watch. Why is it? But I thought that if I try to help him, his parents will take me wrong, you know. Aapko kya lena dena hai? So sometimes you want to help, but you are a little feel awkward in helping anyone. I kept watching. He was continuously trying all means. They call it Indian jugaad, right? He tried everything to open the window. And he was not from Mumbai Central, Kalyan came. Still he was, after 10, he would give up. Then after some time, let me try again, you know. So he'll get something from his bag, try something else. And the whole journey went. Can you imagine? Igatpuri came. After 10, 15 minutes, again he will try. And then Devlali came. You know, Devlali is just 5 minutes before Nashik. At Devlali, something happened. He got an idea. He took a water bottle and he pulled the whole window and just put that bottle knob somewhere and stuck. And the window remained open. And his parents were so happy and clapping, you know, I was also happy. So look, all his efforts of 4 hours of journey has bore fruit. But only and only now in 5 minutes, Nashik was coming. So after 5 minutes, Nashik came and his parents said, let's go. And he was shocked. Nay, why should I go? Why should I go? Because just imagine 3.5 hours more than that, he was trying to open that window. The window didn't open. And finally, when the window opened and time has come to leave, but he could not. Now, I could understand the whole philosophical aspect of that, but his parents, like, he was saying, what is this? No, you have to go. Nashik has come, you have to get down. And he was like crying, no, we'll wait for some time, we'll get down next station. Abhi to window khula hai. Finally, his father pulled him out. He was crying and they got down. Nashik also got down. I was wondering that when I recollected that story and I was reading this particular instance. I was mentioning how his life is also like that boy struggling to do something, struggling to get something in our life which is not easily available. And we are struggling so much and finally sometimes material nature arranges that thing exactly at time when we have to leave. What is that leave? Leave means you have to either leave the place or leave our body, whatever it may be. Now, we have never understood the concept of accepting the reality. The material world is always encouraging, like all these motivation speakers are there. Most of them are trying to motivate us to enjoy this material world. But behind that motivation, we should also know, we should try. But we should also be detached. The detachment is not mentioned much. Because if everyone starts speaking on detachment in motivation, then what will happen? People will not hear that talk. Because detachment is a very difficult word, right? Like one time I was giving a lecture in one university, and I was mentioning about how we should be detached, we should be open. And then suddenly one question came from the teacher itself. If we actually be very detached, and then how will we progress in life? Then I understood that the detachment word is a very difficult word to explain to new people. Right? And therefore the motivation speakers, they use those language of where they can motivate people to just keep progressing, keep trying. But we should know that we keep trying, but if it is not in our karma, we will not get it. So therefore sometimes we should know it is very, very nice to you to remember these three words, you know, it is okay. It is okay. Not everything you will get. Let's keep moving. Let's keep progressing in our life. So for a non-devotee, the Paramatma is the silent word. For a devotee, sadhaka devotee, Paramatma is openly speaking word we can't hear. And for a pure devotee, it is Paramatma is conversing word. He can speak and pure devotee can talk to him. So these are some insights to Prabhupada's great understanding of Paramatma in our heart. Yeah. So now, continuing from third canto, where Lord Kapila mentions about the yogi meditating on Paramatma, the series of verses describes the details of the Paramatma in the heart. And finally, coming to the conversation, Prabhupada says, the yogi has to fix the mind on the Lord. When he has fixed his mind completely, then it is said, the yogi understands the Lord is very beautiful. And after that, Lord Kapila says, he should meditate on each limb of the Paramatma. So the Prabhupada says in the purport, the yogi is not told to just see the Paramatma as a whole person, wholesome, because he may see the wholesome Paramatma and ultimately think that he is impersonal. But he is told to go to, like a guided tour, every limb of the body. In this age of Kali Yuga, these 2-3 words are very, very, very popular, the buzzword, you know. Guided meditation, mindfulness. There are many, many meditations, teachers who bring in the students to their classrooms and they guide them in meditation. First of all, of course, 70% of their task is first to arrange the atmosphere in the room or the place where you are doing meditation. And after that, you know, and ultimately the last thing is, you know, they say, imagine something. And meditate on it. So, Prabhupada always mentioned that we can't meditate on imagination. We have to meditate on some form. So, Prabhupada is very clearly mentioning that a yogi is supposed to meditate on the 4-armed form of the Lord limb by limb. And Srila Prabhupada says, still this meditation is not very practical in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada says very brutally in that purport that, as soon as we start thinking in our mind about the Supreme Lord or His form, the mind will disturb you. Because the mind is full of agitation. These are the words of Prabhupada. Mind is full of agitation, the mind will disturb you, and therefore it will be very difficult for us to think about the Lord. On the other hand, vis-a-vis the process of meditation, thinking, there is a process of chanting and hearing. Right? And Prabhupada continues, it is more easier to remember the Lord through hearing and chanting than to meditation. And Prabhupada gives example which is relevant now. Now, for example, when we hear Bhagavatam, it's more easy to concentrate on the Lord and Lord's activities through a class. Right? To hear, read Srimad Bhagavatam is a wonderful activity. But to hear Srimad Bhagavatam becomes more relishable when the same Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken in a way which we can appreciate. Right? So Prabhupada says we should hear and chant the glories of the Lord, and that will be of like a forceful activity on the mind. The mind has to hear. The mind cannot run away. The mind may not be able to 100% grasp it, but at least something is there. But in meditation, nothing is there. It's an imagination. And the result is, by this, there is purification of the heart, and a person is able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just like the yogis are doing a guided meditation on the different limbs of the body of the Lord, even the scripture is considered as a guided meditation tool. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam is a guided meditation tour on the Supreme Personality of Godhead's beautiful bodily features, right? The first canto and second canto are compared to the lotus feet of the Lord. And then we move on. The beautiful ankles, the hips, the waist, the chest, the arms, the smiling face, the forehead. 12 cantos progress in this way, right? There's nothing but guided meditation tour on the scriptures. I was reading the other day that just like Srimad Bhagavatam is a guided meditation tour, the acharyas of Sri Sampradaya also mentioned Ramayana is also a guided meditation tour on the beautiful form of the Lord. So Ramayana has around 7 cantos, also called 7 khanda, saptakhanda, right? There is Balakhanda, Ayodhya khanda, Aranya khanda, Kishkinda khanda, Sundar khanda, Yuddha khanda, Uttara khanda. So these all 7 khandas are actually Lord Ram's beautiful bodily features or beautiful bodily ornaments. Acharya has mentioned they are beautiful bodily ornaments of the Lord, which you focus and then you focus on that part. This is how it goes. So the first khanda, Bala khanda, is called as Mani Manjira, which is called as jeweled anklet on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ram. So person, when he reads the Bala Khanda of Ramayana, he is focusing on Mani, on the beautiful anklet of the Lord. And through that anklet, then he sees the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he move on to Ayodhya Khanda. Ayodhya Khanda is called the Pitambara, the yellow dhoti which Lord is wearing on his body, on his legs. So when you concentrate on Pitambara, then you're concentrating on the leg of the Lord. Pitambara. The third, Aranya Khanda, is called as Ratna Mekhala. That is the jeweled belt of the Lord. So when you concentrate on jeweled belt of the Lord, then you concentrate on the waist of the Lord. The fourth, Kishkinda Khanda, is the Muktahara. Muktahara means the pearl necklace on the neck of the Lord. So when you concentrate on pearl necklace, then you watch the neck of the Lord. The fifth khanda is Sundar Khanda. So Sundar Khanda is compared to Shringara Tilak, the elegant tilak on the forehead or the head of Lord Ram. So when you see the elegant tilak, then you see the beautiful face of Lord Ram. The Yuddha Khanda is compared to Ratna Kirita, the gem studded crown of the Lord. So when it's the gem studded crown of the Lord, you see the forehead and the head of the Lord. And finally, the last Uttarakhanda is the Mani Mukuta jewel on the crown. So when you see the Mani Mukuta jewel, you see on the top of the head of the Lord Ram. So we see that how beautifully our scriptures also guide us from the lotus feet of the Lord to Lord's beautiful face, and through which this meditation, our heart gets purified. So, because we have entered into Ramayana, I'll just read something on Ramayana. I'm also reading from nowadays Ramayana for upcoming festival of Ram Navami. It is said that Lanka is compared to body. The city of Lanka is compared to body. Ravan and Kumbhakaran is compared to the concept of ego, false ego. I and mine, Ravan and Kumbhakaran. And Ravan and Kumbhakaran, other associates like Indrajit, Surupanaka, Haradushan, etc. They are compared to lust, anger, all the anarthas. So body is Lanka, Ravan and Kumbhakaran are the ego, I and mine. Indrajit and other associates, close associates of Ravan are lust, anger, etc. Vibhishan is compared to intelligence. Sita is compared to living entity who is trapped in the body. The conditioned living entity trapped in the body. So the living entity who is trapped in the body of Lanka receives the information of the Lord through Guru. And that Guru is compared to Hanumanji. So Hanumanji enters into the realm of Lanka and gives information to the living entity about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the bona fide Acharya is compared to Hanumanji. So when we hear from Hanumanji what happens, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes and destroys all the material concept, the Lanka, the ego, and re-establishes the living entity back into its original constitutional position. So, in the Ramayana, it is said that we are talking about Lanka as the body of Lord, as the body of a conditioned soul, right? And the living entity, the soul is a living entity trapped in the body. I was reading one beautiful version of Ramayana which mentions about how Lanka came into existence. So, very amazing story. So, it is said that many, many thousands of years ago, before Lanka actually descended or appeared or formed in this earth planet, Lanka was part of Mount Meru. So there was once on Mount Meru, two Gandharvas were performing some musical accompaniment. And the musical accompaniment while talking, they were discussing the theme, and the discussion turned into a debate. And one of the Gandharva was very close associate or very close friend of Vasuki. He started glorifying Vasuki. He said, Vasuki is so great that can you imagine, Vasuki is always that person whom even Lord has to take help from. So the other Gandharva said, when did Lord take help from Vasuki? He said, oh, Matsyavatar. When Lord took Matsyavatar, it was Lord who wanted to guide the whole boat in which all the Saptarishis, all the different seeds and species, and Satyavrat Maharaj was the king. So Lord had to take help of something which was very strong, a rope. So Lord summoned Vasuki, and Matsyavatar with the horn tied Vasuki to the horn and onto the ship, the boat. And for thousands of years, you know, Lord was rowing and teaching beautiful transcendental knowledge, Satyavrata Muni and all Saptarishis. So you see, Vasuki is so strong, can in the Pralaya Sagar, the big boat, which is almost the essence of this world, is been kind of dragged by the power of Matsya, but hold was through Vasuki. So one Gandharva was glorifying Vasuki, but other Gandharva did not like Vasuki. He said, how can you say Vasuki is stronger? There are so many more people who are stronger. Vayu is there, Agni is there, Varuna is there. Why Vasuki? So he was trying to establish how Vasuki is very strong, he is very powerful. And just at that time, Vayu Dev also was going through that whole area. And second Gandharva called, Vayudev, please come here. I am trying to establish how you are very strong than Vasuki. And Vayu said, yes, I am stronger than Vasuki. I move everything in this world. Is there anything which I cannot move? And Gandharva said, you can move everything, but still Lord is relying on Vasuki. He did not call you. In Matsya Avatar. So there was a discussion. So immediately, one Gandharva said, let's have competition. So my very good associate, my friend Vayu is here. First Gandharva, you call your Vasuki. Let's test here only. So I don't know how he called, WhatsApp or internet or Instagram. He just called. Vasuki came there immediately. So the whole thing was there. Now we should have a competition and debate to prove this point. Vasuki is more strong than Vayu. So the debate happened. The challenge took place. And it was decided that Vasuki will coil around Mount Meru Parvat. And Vayu will try to remove him, detach him from that Mount Meru. So it was like a very fierce competition. Something like what happened in Tirupati, right? With Ananta Shesha and Vayu. Something similar but different story. And the wind was blowing very strong. Mount Meru was like going from here, there, you know. Mount Meru is between the whole planet, right? The whole system of universe. And it is moving means the whole system gets disturbed, right? So finally, but they said that in that whole competition, no one won. And Brahmaji had to come and intervene. What is this going on? You're trying to prove yourself, right? But in proving yourself, there's a problem there. The whole world is having problem. The whole world is undergoing issues. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So they said that while that whole motion was going on and Meru was going here and there, a part of Meru Parvat just came out and got floated in the whole air and landed in salt ocean in this planet. In middle of the ocean and when it fell down, it was a small chip which came from Mount Meru, but it had three peaks. Therefore it got the word Trikuta. So Trikuta is part of Mount Meru, and Vishwakarma was thinking when he had not much of service anyway, kuch to karna chahiye, itna acha designing ka mera experience hai. This Trikuta is between here. This could be a good place for demigods to come and enjoy, have a nice vacation within the earth planet. So it is said that he built the whole city of Lanka on that Trikuta, so that demigods can come and enjoy. And because he was very good friend of Kuvera, so Kuvera said, someone has to rule this thing, can I rule this? So Kuvera got this gift of Lanka from Vishwakarma. And Kuvera was ruling this whole particular place up until Ravana, his mother, who is also the stepmother of Kuvera. She was unhappy with Kuvera's great wealth. So she told her son, what is this? You don't have anything much, you know. At least, you should have at least one kingdom of yours, right? And in one kingdom can be, this is good, somewhere in the ocean, very well protected, why don't you get it? So Ravana went and fought with Kubera and snatched that Lanka. So Lanka came into the power of Ravana. So you find here that how anything, the whole life of Ravana was based on just snatching from others. He had nothing of his own. Everything was like snatched or taken, robbed. Everything. Lanka was robbed, Pushpa Viman was robbed, all his wives, they were also robbed and forcefully taken from someone. So, in one sense, therefore, Ravana is concept compared to here in Ramayana as ego, I and mine. See, in our own life, personal life of mine, I can see that whenever we see something, immediately we decide, can I have it? Right? And when we see that we don't want it, we don't require, then we want to give it to others. It's like, you know, that's vairagya comes when we don't want it, or it's too much for me, I just cannot use it, give it to others. But as soon as we see, we think about me and mine. We think of me, or we think of someone who is very close to me, let him give. Even while giving some things to other, we have our own party whom we want to give, not to anyone else. That's called false ego. My, me and mine. So Ravan and Kumbhakaran mentioned, narrated, or they had this presentation of me and mine in this world. And this me and mine overpowers a living entity's spiritual nature. The spiritual nature of living entity is to be enjoyed and support the enjoyment of the Lord. But the false ego covers over that dormant living entity's condition and makes him to become an enjoyer of me and mine. So, it is said that all our Vedic scriptures, including Ramayana, they speak of five subject matters by which a living entity can make his journey from conditioned state to the state of perfection. So, what are five subject matters? So, it is said, first is to understand the journey of a conditioned soul to the spiritual world is the first. One should understand the nature of Supreme Brahman. Second, one should understand who is he, who am I, individual soul. The third is the means to attain the Supreme Lord. The third is that, the means to attain Supreme Lord. Fourth is result of attaining the Supreme Lord. And fifth is obstructions in attaining the Supreme Lord. So the five things mentioned in all scriptures, Ramayana also mentioned these five things. And the Vaishnava Acharya mentioned these five things because they are philosophical truths. And because we are conditioned souls, we cannot understand philosophy very easily. In Ramayana, there are personalities who teach us these five truths. Just like in school or college, when we go, every topic or a subject, a book, is taught by one person. A teacher comes, right? Biology teacher, physics teacher. There's a person to teach the book. Similarly, Ramayana, these five matters, subject matters, are taught by at least five living entities or rather five devotees or five personalities in Ramayana. So first topic subject is nature of impersonal Brahman, nature of Supreme Brahman. So if you want to know the nature of Supreme Brahman, Vaishnava Acharya says that one should focus on the description of Lord Ram's characteristics and qualities in Ramayana. By reading about Lord Ram's characteristics, one will understand thoroughly the subject matter of nature of Supreme Brahman. But if you want to know who am I, who is individual soul, then one should read about Lakshman. Lakshman perfectly represented an individual soul and his duties. Third, if you want to know what are the means to attain the Lord, then one should read the various aspects of dealings of Sita with Lord Ram and with all other devotees. Of course, Sita is not the only one in that. We can also read from the activities of Nishad Raj and other various wonderful devotees in Ram Lila. But primarily, Sita Devi is the one who can teach us what are the means to attain the Lord. What is the result of attaining the Lord? Then one can read the beautiful activities of Vibhishan. That how he was, when he surrendered to the Lord, what is the result of attaining the Lord, what all he got. So we can learn from the life of Vibhishan. And obstructions in attaining the Lord, one should read about Ravan. All that he did, we should not do. Because after doing all that, he in the end suffered. And his whole kingdom suffered. So reading of Ravan, we get detachment that no matter Ravan was so powerful, yet he failed miserably in the end. So each personality here in Ramayana, they teach us wonderful lessons of how we can progress in our surrender to Krishna. So there are many more things to discuss today. Time is up. We will end our session here. Any comments, questions, you can ask. We have 2 minutes more to take this. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.